Rabbi, Northwest London, Thursday, Dalet Iyar, 5th of May, Rav Avi Adler, Ki Lishuos Cha Kivinu.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, one second. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored. Le'er Nishmas, our dear friend and colleague, Rav Osher Badil, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Osher Yitzchok, Ben Rav Chaim Kastriel, Zichrono Livracha, on his recent first Yahrzeit, Chof Hei Nissan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please do excuse my cold this morning. Till the right. I know a good one. It's slightly early maybe for Shia on Megillas Rus. But the truth is that Megillas Rus, the Mufarshim explain, really represents the name of the times that we're living in. The Mufarshim explain that Megillas Esther is really the Megillah of Golos. All the Hester Ponema, Hashem looks after us from Golos, gives us great chizuk to learn Megillas Esther. Megillas Rus is really the Megillah which describes to us the birth of Mashiach, the process that it takes to get to Mashiach. Rus, as the Psukim end off, the last few Psukim in Rus, Eilet told us Peretz, it goes through the children of Rus. There's Rus, she had a child called Oved, and from Oved, a couple of generations later, Oved heard it's Yishai, the Yishai, Hoyled S. David. So Rus was the Im HaMalchus, she was the mother that brought to Mashiach being born. And it represents the beginning of Rus, the Nisyonis of Rus, are really an example for us for the Nisyonis of the time of Ixel to Mashiach, the process that it takes to get to Mashiach. We say in davening every day, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Meheres HaTzmiach. Tzemach David, what's the Tzemach David? So the Tzemach David really means the plant of David. The Malchus Mislavid is compared to a plant. What does that mean? The Mufarshim explain that just as a plant, right? If you have seeds and you want to plant the seeds, so the seeds have to be thrown into the mud, they're trampled on, they have no chashivas, they decompose, and it's only after that process takes place that the plant can then blossom and can then grow into a beautiful plant producing fruit, etc. The same way Malchus Mislavid has to really go through that same process. At the beginning, David it's in the mud, they're in the mud, they're trampled on, they're lowly, but that process itself brings to their eventual sprouting, into their eventual tzmicha. And the zchus which carries Klal Yisrael through those difficult times, through the times of being trampled on, is, as we say in the bracha, Semach David Meheres HaTzmiach, Kilishu Oscha Kivino Kol Hayom, because we keep strong and firm in our betochen, in our trust, and in our hope, that however bad things look, they will eventually look up, and the badness, the nisyonis themselves will lead to the geula. And all this can be learned from the Megillah, from the story of Rus, and how Rus eventually became the Im HaMalchus and eventually gave birth to the line of Malchus with David and Mashiach Tekinu. So I just want to share this morning maybe the sort of a background, an introduction to the Megillah, through maybe the lens is a Briskarov, a Marshal, and a Chasam Sofer. I think we go through these three things, and we take a step back, we'll understand some of the Nisyonis, some of the life that Rus was living, and how that leaves us a message for our times. So, to begin with, who wrote Megillas Rus? The Gemara Bava Basra tells us that Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillas Rus. The Bach in his parish on Megillas Rus has got a sefer. The Bach wrote a sefer called Meshiv Nefesh, which is a beautiful parish on Megillas Rus. And in his introduction, he begins by asking, how does Shmuel HaNavi come to write Megillas Rus? Shmuel HaNavi lived, he was the Navi who eventually anointed the Shaul as the king. See, he lived quite a few generations, three or four generations after the story with Rus had taken place. So how does Shmuel HaNavi come to write Megillas Rus? So explains the Bach that he says that the Gemara Yevamos, it's because of the Gemara Yevamos coming up soon in Dafyemi, there's another Dafyemi, there's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav, which tells us that after David, the famous story where David killed Goliath, So Shaul hears what happened. Shaul hears that David was successful in killing Goliath, and he turns around to those around him and he says, Ben Mihu, who is this boy? Who is David? And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Why is Shaul HaMelech all of a sudden asking who David is? David had served Shaul for many years. He was the Nosi Kalim for Shaul for many years. Shaul and David were well acquainted. Why all of a sudden does Shaul turn around and ask, who is this boy? So the Gemara explains that Shaul was very concerned. Shaul had an obsession of sorts. He wanted to remain the king until he had completed his job of getting rid of Amalek. So Shaul was very concerned. When he saw that David was successful in killing Goliath, he already sensed that David was heading for the throne. And he wanted to know if he was right in his suspicion. So he wanted to know not so much who David was, but he wanted to know, is David rightly to be the king of Klal Yisrael? Does he come from the right line? Does he have the right yichus? Is he from Peretz, from the correct land, which they had in Masorah, where the melech of David, of Klal Yisrael was going to come from? That was Shaul's question. And the Gemara tells us that Doeg, who was the Rosh Sanhedrin, turns around to Shaul and says that, why are you even asking if he's royal to be king? You should know, not only is he not royal to be king, he's not even permitted to marry a Bas Yisrael. He's also loved by Kahal. He's always forbidden to marry anyone from Klal Yisrael. Why? Because his mother was from Moav, Rus came from Moav, and the Torah says, Le'yavoy, Amoni, Moav, Bikal Hashem, you're not allowed to marry anyone from Amon or Moav. Doeg understood maybe how he would learn the pasuk, the simple shot in the pasuk, which is, it's just like a female Bas Yisrael is not allowed to marry a man from Moav, so to a man, a Ben Yisrael, so anyone from Klal Yisrael is not allowed to marry a woman who is a Moavis. Le'yavai, Moavi, Moavis, both Moavi and Moavis are not allowed to marry into the Klal Yisrael, which would therefore tell us that David HaMelech, who was born from Rus was a Moavis, and therefore just like Rus was also loved by Kahal, so too her children will be also loved by Kahal. And David was puzzled. He said, "Al chata shayel, until you ask, before you ask whether he's royal to be king, first ask if he's royal to be king. He's also even to marry Bas Yisrael. He's also to marry Bas Yisrael. Surely you don't have to worry about him ever becoming the king of Klal Yisrael. There's nothing to worry about." And what the Gemara goes through is a whole controversy until the Gemara finishes off that there was Amasa, someone called Amasa, stood up and he was Chaga, Chabra, Kishbeli. He stood up in great anger and he said, "No, Mukublani, I have a Kabbalah from the God of Adon, from Shmuel Haramasi, from Shmuel Hanavi, that Mayavi v'loy Mayavis. That it's mutter to marry Mayavis. Rus was perfectly permitted to marry Bayaz because the Issa of not marrying a Mayavi is only to marry a male Mayavi, but a Mayavis is permitted lavoy b'kahal." So even many generations, this is four generations after Rus had married Bayaz, the controversy of whether that marriage was ever permitted was still going very strongly. The Rosh Sanhedrin Doeg in the times of Shaul held that the whole marriage was forbidden, was an Issa, was also lavoy b'kahal. And therefore when Shmuel Hanavi saw, says the Bach, when Shmuel Hanavi saw how this controversy was still raging, he sat down and he wrote, says the Bach, he wrote a tshuva bas amar prokem. He wrote a tshuva, halachic tshuva, tshuva lahalacha, to explain his psak and to explain the whole story of how Rus had ever married Bayez in the first place. And he sat down, that's when he wrote Megillas Rus to show everyone and to write down his psak, that everyone should know his psak, that Rus was permitted to marry Bayez. And
Mayavi b'kal Hashem means they can't get married. Yes. Mayavis or from Moav. But if they convert, they still can't.
Even if they become Jewish, yes. Even if they have a Gerus, they become Jewish. But the fact that they come from Ammon, the fact they come from Moav, they can become Gerim. There's nothing wrong with becoming Gerim. But even after they become Gerim, they won't be allowed to marry into the Kahal Hashem. The Briskerov in his Sefer brings a Rashi in Megillas Rus. When Bayaz, during the story, before Bayaz marries Rus, so he actually turns first to the Goyel, the Rashi does someone called Toiv, who was a closer relative to Nomi than Bayaz was, and he says to the Goyel that you should really marry Rus. Instead of me marrying Rus, your closer relative, you should really marry Rus. And Goyel says, "No, I don't want to marry Rus. Why? Pen ashchis es nachlosi. Perhaps my children will be destroyed, will be ruined." What does he mean? Says Rashi. Rashi explains that he was worried, right, as we see later on Doeg held, he was worried that perhaps it's also to marry Rus, because perhaps the halacha of not marrying someone from Moav applies to a Moavis as well. And that is why, says Rashi, Ta'a, he made a mistake in the halacha, he thought the halachas are not allowed to marry Rus, and that's why he didn't marry Rus. Asks the Brisker Rav. He says, if he was concerned, if it's true that Toid was concerned about the halacha of Moyavi, Moyavi Bekal Hashem, he thought that you're not allowed to marry Rus, why does he say that he's concerned, Pen Ashkes es Nachlasi, perhaps my children will be ruined, meaning that his children will be possible? There's a much bigger concern. It's also for him to marry. Don't blame it on the children. It's also for you to marry someone he held who's a Moyavis. If it's also for you to marry Moyavis, you say, I can't marry her because it's also, why does he only put the blame on the children? Perhaps the children will have a problem. Forget the children having a problem. It's a much bigger problem for you. It's also to marry her. Why does he focus on the Nachla? Why does he focus on the children? Explains the Brisker Rav that Boaz was the Rosh HaSanhedrin in his times. And we see that Boaz held that it was mutter to marry Rus. And that was a psak. We have time to go to now. There was various svaros that the Gemara gives why it should be married to mutter, why it should be mutter to marry Miyavis, why it should not be mutter to marry Miyavis. It was a question in svaro. And Boaz paskin claims that you are allowed to marry Rus. Toiv said, I have no problem relying on your psak. He wasn't worried about his issa. He was perfectly happy to rely on the psak of Boaz. Boaz said that it's mutter to marry Rus, and he was perfectly happy to rely on Boaz's psak. He had no problem with that. He was concerned, however, that because it's a machlokes in Svara, so there may be a Beis Din later on, there may be a Sanhedrin which will come in a later generation, and they may turn around and say, no, we disagree with Boaz's Pesach, and we hold that it's also to marry a Mayavis, in which case his children will then have a problem, his children will become Psulim, his children will become Osa Lovay Bekahal. And his concern wasn't unfounded, because we see in the Gemara that's like what happened. 4 generations later, the Rosh HaSanhedrin Doyek told Shaul that there's no concern of David becoming king because he's possible. So it was a sort of a fluid psak. They had this psak of Boaz, which was a psak based on Svara, but as long as it's a psak based on Svara, a Beis Din can come later and they can disagree with the psak of the earlier Beis Din. They can overturn the psak of the earlier Beis Din. And that's why Tov's concern wasn't about himself, his concern was Pen Ashchis Es Nachlasi. And says the Brisker Rav that this sort of suffix continued through the generations until the Gemara Nivamos, until this period where the time for Malchus Bis David had come, and David had killed Goliath, and then Amasa stood up, and if you look at the Gemara Nivamos, he says, Mekublani Mishmola Ramasi. He said, I have a Kabbalah for Shmuel Ramasi. He says the Brisker Rav that a Kabbalah means that Shmuel Hanavi had a Messiah, that there was a Halacha Moshe Messinai, which tells us that you are allowed to marry a Moyavis. The issa is only for a Moyavi, but not for a Moyavis. And therefore, there was a halacha l'moshe Messinai that Rus was allowed to marry Boaz. And once it's a halacha l'moshe Messinai, so then the suffix is laid to rest. No future Beis Din can argue on a halacha l'moshe Messinai. As long as there was a machlokes in Svara that can be overturned by future Bati Dinim, they can argue in Svara. But once it was revealed that there was a Messiah, there was a halacha l'moshe Messinai that you're allowed to marry Moyavis, then there was no more concern for the issa of marrying a Moyavis. No Beis Din can ever overturn a halacha l'moshe Messinai. But what we see from this Brisker Rav is that the Rus was living through a tremendous confusion. There was, until many generations, until the time for Malchus Bis David actually arrived, there was a tremendous cloud hanging over, a tremendous question mark hanging over Rus. There was a big controversy. Is she mutter? Is she asa? Are her children mutter? Are her children asa? And Rus, gone through tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. She came from a royal family, she had given up all her wealth, and she had followed Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael in great poverty and gone around collecting Lekhet Chikapel. For all that sacrifice, she was living the whole time with this big question mark. Is she even Mutter Lover Bekal? Is she also Lover Bekal? And that is really one of the things that Mepharshim point out, that this is really, an example of what happens in Ekvisa de Mashiach, where even in Avodas Hashem, there's tremendous questions, there's tremendous murkiness, there's tremendous confusion, and you really have to hold firm with what you know, what we know to be right, and that's what will hold us strong until the Tzimichas Beis David. Because as we see, until the time for Malchus Beis David arrived, there was even tremendous questions over David's whole kashrus in the first place, and this was the part of the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh that Rus displayed, that she relied on the Psak of Boaz, she knew the Psak of Boaz to be right, and she didn't give up. She didn't go back to Moab. She didn't go back to back to where she came from because of these great question marks and because of these great controversies. She stuck with what she knew to be right. That's the Brisker Rav. The Mashal is a very interesting Mashal in that sugya in Yevamos. Here again, he deals with this question of how could there be such a controversy in the times of Shaul of whether David was right or wrong. He says, Boaz was the Rosh Sanhedrin, as we explained, and Bayez had Paskin that's mutter to marry Rus. Not only did Bayez Paskin that's mutter to marry Rus, he actually went and married her. So I'll show you the Gemara says in Chulin, like Rabbuna, someone came to Rabbuna with a shayla on a piece of meat, and Rabbuna Paskin that the meat was kosher to eat. And Rabbuna saw that the woman was hesitating, so he actually went himself and ate the piece of the meat. Once he ate the piece of meat, there's no question. He obviously holds that it's fully kosher and he was happy to eat it himself. Bayez said Paskin that was mutter, asks the Marsha. Bayez said Paskin that was mutter to marry Rus, and he actually went to marry her. So how did this controversy erupt again 4 generations later? Is it mutter to marry? Is she not mutter to marry?
How can they leave the best in the back there?
So the rule is that the basically the for sure can overturn a psak of a previous basin.
So
David held that he had authority to overturn Bayez's psak until it was revealed that was Alakha Mish Mesina.
Was Bayez just giving Misvara Satsma, or was he also in the Blani?
No, the Gemara explains that Bayez had a Svara, Bayez held that a Dvash and a Kidmu Balechim Arayim is only a problem. The men were expected to offer food, but the women weren't expected to offer food, therefore there's no problem with the women. Yeah, he had the Svara.
But he didn't know about
that. He didn't know. It seems that this whole Masorah wasn't revealed by Shmuel until the time for Malchus Pesdov actually arrived. The Mashal adds, the Medrash says, interestingly, that the day after Bayez married Rus, Bayez actually died. The next morning, Bayez died. So the Medrash says. So now you can already imagine, right? You can imagine, go back to Gemara Chulin, Rabbuna picked up the piece of meat and he ate, you know, the meat's kosher and he ate the piece of meat and he promptly dropped dead. So already people start talking, you know, maybe the Pesach's not correct. So some of us were saying, see, if Bayez died the next morning, so people invited to question his original Pesach. The Mashal adds a beautiful halachic perspective. He says that the Ramban Pashas V'Yeshev explains that Yibum, that's all learning Yivam, so we're familiar with these sugyas, that Yibum, the Ramban explains, was practiced, at least in those days, by a wider, if there was no, Yibum generally is only a brother of the husband who died. But the Ramban Pashas V'Yeshev says that originally Yibum was practiced by a wider range of relatives, and if there was no brother-in-law available, then they would go to a further relative to perform the mitzvah of Yibum and to marry the almana. Says the Marsha that Bayez, right, really was marrying Rus because he held that there was a mitzvah of Yibum. He was the closest relative who agreed to marry her, and therefore he was marrying Rus as a kiyum of the mitzvah of Yibum. Says the Marsha, the Gemara in Yevamos,
she did have children.
They died. So he says that she had children later. She had children only from Bayez.
Yeah,
don't think she had children originally. She had children. There were no children from Machne and Kelly.
No.
Don't think so. The husbands died. And she and Ruth didn't have children yet.
Yeah.
Sorry. She had children after she married Bayez, then she had children.
If he died the following day, she only had one child.
Yeah, she only had this one child. The Megillah says she had Ovid. It was only that one child.
But
he wasn't a brother. Right. So that's when the Mashal brings the Ramban Pashas V'Yeshev and says that even a wider range of relatives, if there's no brother, then the Yibum gets pushed off to a wider Medrash, and the Ramban Pashas V'Yeshev, which holds that the Yibum can be practiced by a wider range of relatives.
Doesn't that Ramban talk about it only before Matan Torah?
This
is after Mashal learns that
Bayez held the Maisa, that was the halacha. Correct. Yeah, the Ramban talks about it in the context of Yehuda and Talmud for Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah was limited. The Ramban says that Bayez held this continued after Matan Torah. Therefore, says the Mashal, that the halacha is when it comes to Yibum, that even if there's an Issa lav for the prospective Meyabim to marry his Yevama, the halacha is Asei, Deichelei is Asei. The Gemara says Midrabanan, you shouldn't do it, etc. But Midaraisa, the halacha is Asei, Deichelei is Asei. But explains the Gemara that this would only apply to the Bia Rishena. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum is for the Meyabim to have one Bia with the Yevama. And on that bia, there's a asei deichelos asei, and even if the Yavama is also love a Bikahal, and even if there's an Issa allowed to marry this Yavama, the halacha would be, because of Asay Deichel Leisa, say that the mitzvah of Yibum would allow you to marry this Yavama. Explains the Mashah that people knew the story of Boaz. People knew that Boaz had married Rus. But, as the Majid says, he died the next day. So they weren't sure why did he marry Rus. Did he marry Rus because he held that Rus, the halacha is he allowed to marry Moyavis, and therefore he held there was nothing wrong with marrying Rus, and that's why he married her. Or did he only marry Rus because of, and I say Deich Elisa say, in other words, maybe he taka held that Rus was Asa. She's Asa lover Bikal. She's Asa lover Bikal because maybe the Issa, it's Asa to marry Moyavis as well. How did he go and marry her? He only married her because, I say Deich Elisa say, because he was practicing the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is only to be a Rishayna. Okay, but he died the next day, so we don't know what he would have done afterwards. Maybe afterwards he would have divorced her.
You'd have to take on that she converted already when she married her husband, because otherwise she can't be Yavama.
Otherwise it would be the
Yavama. If she wasn't Jewish until afterwards with Nomi,
right,
if she didn't convert until afterwards, then she can't be Yavama.
There's a bit of big machlokes.
Yeah, whether
she was Megai before.
No, that wasn't before.
That was before. How could Machlan and Kilian marry her then if they weren't Megai? Midrabanan, they say there's a Midrabanan that you shouldn't do Yibum. We don't rely on this. Shouldn't do Yibum on someone who's also Lava Bekal. But the Gemara of Rabbi Safchav says that Midaraisa, then we would say, Midrabanan, the Yibum, you're saying because there wasn't a brother. I think the way the Mashal's learning is that by itself this was a real Yibum. This was a derisive of the Yibum. So this is the chiddush of the Mashal. And again, just stepping back, so you see this great machlokes, this great controversy, which was ranging over this whole Yibum. People didn't even know, even after Boaz had married Rus, people didn't know why Boaz had married Rus. Is she Asa? Is she Mutter? And Rus, that was really the discern of Rus, to live through these question marks, to live through this murkiness, this cloudiness, and this confusion, but never giving up, never running back to Moab, never running back to her royal life, waiting for her straightforward, simple, and easy life she could have had she gone back to Moab. She kept strong, and eventually that's of course led her to give birth to become the Ema Malchus, to take a lead to Mashiach. There's an amazing Chasam Sefer, that's the first scroll of the Mashal, an amazing Chasam Sefer. The Chasam Sefer, he's got a Drush, the Megillas Rus, Drush Aleph, Megillas Rus. So he says that when we look at the story, we open up a Megillas Rus, so we see the story, everyone knows the story, begins with Rus and Orpah, and they come back to Eretz Yisrael, and very quickly Orpah drops out, runs back, and Rus, the story continues with Rus, and we see how Rus eventually becomes, gives birth to Ovid, which leads to David. So it seems that Rus is the one which leads to Mashiach, and Orpah gets lost. It says the Chasam Sofer that it's much more than that. Orpah herself also plays a great role in the story of Mashiach. Says the Chasam Sofer this. He says that he tells us the new Chasam Sofers, they source this from different Targumim and different Midrashim, Big Chiddush, and to work out the timeline yourselves. But the Chasam Sofer tells us that on the day that Shimshon HaGibor, everyone knows how he was captured by the Plishtim. Originally he was the great Mashiach Shel Yisrael, the Pasuk calls him. He fought the Plishtim with great strength. But after he was put into captivity, he lost his strength, his hair was cut off, and he ended up in prison. And as the Pasuk in Shoftim tells us, when he was put into prison, the Plishtim put him to forced labor, but he took him to Beis HaSorim, they made him grind, and they made him work tremendously hard. The Gemara in Saita says that the work that Shimshon was doing, part of the work that Shimshon was doing, is that the Plishtim had a great desire to have children who are as strong as Shimshon. Shimshon was a great, powerful man. They wanted to have children with that DNA. So they all bought their daughters and they forced Shimshon to be Mizana with all their daughters so that they were also hoping to have children who would be as strong as Shimshon. Says the Chasam Sofer, Orpah, on the day that she left Naomi and returned back to Moab, her father took her as well. She joined the queue, and she was also one of the people who were mezana with Shimshon. It was on the same day, says the Chasam Sofer, that Shimshon was captured, and Shimshon was boiled with her that night. The Gemara Sefer says that it was a woman called Horpa, with a hey reish pei hey Horpa, who was the mother of Goliath. Says the Chasam Sofer that Orpa, and it's mashma and the Gemara there as well, that this is the Orpa from Megillas Rus. Says the Chasam Sofer, Orpa and Horpa were the same person. Says the Chasam Sofer, the reason why her name changed from Orpa with the ayin to Horpa with the hay, he says, is because the Shem Hashem of Adnos is Gematria 65. So when Orpa left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when she left Hashem, so she lost 65 from her name. It took 65 away from her name, so an ayin is 70. If you minus 65, you're left with a hay. So her name was changed from Orpa with an ayin to Horpa with a hay. And says the Chasam Sofer that Nir Eliezer's Chasam Sofer, that it was on that night that Horpa was together with Shimshon that she became pregnant with Goliath, which would explain Goliath's great strength. Goliath was very strong, he had carrying the DNA of Shimshon. Says the Chasam Sofer, right? If so, it comes out when David on the battlefield met Goliath. He was really fighting with his cousin, right? Because he was a descendant of Rus. Goliath came from Orpah, and it was a battle between cousins. And says the Chasam Sofer, it was a battle between forces. It was the Koach HaTov of David. It was the Koach HaRa of Goliath. And on that battlefield, on that day, David HaMelech was miskaver, and he overpowered the forces of Orpah. And this was really the victory of Rus over Orpah. So says the Chasam Sofer, Rus really became the mother of Mashiach Mitzad HaTov. She was the Hachana for Mashiach Mitzad HaTov. And Orpah was the Hachana Mitzad HaRa. Orpah was the Hachana for Mashiach. They were the forces that had to be overpowered before the Malchus Bistavid could rise and grow. Says the Chasam Sofer, this explains the Psukim in Parshas Vayechi. The Psukim say when Yaakov Avinu gave Don his brachas, he says, Yehi Don nochash ali derech. Shififin ali erech, it's like a snake on the path. Hanoshich kvisus, just like a snake. When it wants to attack someone, it bites the heel of the horse. Vayipal reich v'ocha, and that causes the rider to fall off. Explains Rashi that this was a mashal to Shimshon. Right, just as a snake, when it wants to attack a rider, it bites the heel of the horse. It doesn't directly attack the rider. It bites the heel of the horse, and that causes the horse to fall, and therefore the rider dies. Similarly, Shimshon in his great attack on the Pelishtim, in his final show of strength against the Pelishtim, he says, he pulls the beam out from the building. So the way he killed the Pelishtim wasn't by directly attacking them, but he was like a nachash that pulls the beam, and therefore the building falls down and kills all the Pelishtim, just like a snake bites the horse, and therefore the horse falls down, killing the rider. And then Yaakov Avinu finishes off with the words, Lishuoscha kivisi Hashem. We hope, we're hoping for the Yeshua of Hashem. Where do those words come in? Says the Chasam Sofer that Shimshon, with all his strength, the big Mashiach of Israel, but he too was captured, and he too was sent into captivity, put to great shame and to great torture in jail, and he lost all his strength, and everything looks hopeless at that point. Shimshon had reached his lowest point. But says the Chasam Sofer, from that lowest point, that even in that lowest point, and even when he was in prison, from that point, the seed was planted for which the greatest Yeshua comes. The seeds of Goliath, which is the Hachana for Melech HaMashiach, that was planted in jail when Shimshon was at his lowest point. Says Yaakov Avinu, Yidon Lachash Ali Derech, Shimshon will have great strength and he'll save Klal Yisrael just like a snake. But eventually, Shimshon will lose that Kayach. But even when he loses that Kayach, if we keep firm, we keep strong in our Mona, and we keep to Lishu Oscha Kivis Hashem, we keep hoping and we keep waiting and we keep expecting the Yeshua of Hashem, then Hashem brings out from those darkest moments, from the lowest points, Hashem brings out the biggest Yeshuas, and Hashem uses that as a seed which leads to the Melech HaMashiach. So this is really the story of Megillas Rus. It's the story of how great confusion, great murkiness, great cloudiness brings eventually to the Yeshua of Hashem. It brings to the Semach David Avdecha Mehiros Atzmiach V'Kanoi Torah Mishu Osecha. Our job is to keep strong and to keep firm in our Kinishu Oscha Kivinu Kol Hayim.
Oh,
I see.